Good morning, Southern Arizona, and the rest of you out there in cyberspace. Welcome to the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show right here on ESPNTucson.com. 1490 AM, 94.9 HD. What is the HD? The other HD? HD4? HD4. Yeah.
FM.
I guess HD4 I should write this FM. So I remember what that one number is. Jim, where you been? You're supposed to bail me out. No, I'm kidding.
HD4. 94.9. I don't know how anybody finds that. I've never found it yet. So somebody tell me how I find that 94.5 FM. So I never seen it yet.
94. I thought it was 94.9.
94.9.5.
Is it 0.5? Four. I thought it was 0.4.
0.4. Yeah. See, I can't even get it straight.
Okay. 94.9 HD4. Yeah. That's close enough.
I don't think there's an HD in there at all. I mean, I don't think there's a 4 in there at all. I'm sorry. There's an HD. There's no.
There's an HD.
Oh, maybe that's the reason.
Maybe that's what the problem is.
Okay, well,
I can find 94.9.
You've got to find it with an HD.
You got to find it with
an HD. Hey, whatever. Welcome to the Simmons Car Care Show. I'm Gary Simmons, your host, along with me, riding shotgun. The other guy on the other end of the line, I don't know what the call sign is on 94.9 HD, whatever. But we'll find it. Maybe somebody from ESPN will come on during the show and say, hey, this is what you need to do to pick it up on FM. That would be nice. Evidently, I screwed it up when I copied it down. Oh, well. Anyway, Jim Mooney, who is from Frontier Towing, been there and towed that. And since today, and this is Easter weekend, this is really when you want to have a super safe Saturday and Sunday and Monday. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, and if you can find the – remember, folks, it's 1490. Let's do it the old school way, 1490 a.m. But if you hear us,
yep.
You're on 1490. So.
Yeah, it's 1490, 94.9 HD4. You're right. It's for the HD4. Radio. I'm sorry. I don't have a high-definition radio at all.
Neither do I. All right, we got that cleared
now
up.
Now we know.
And also, if you want to do it old school and call us 520-719-1490, like the AM station 719-1490, give us a call on this Easter weekend. That's right. It's Easter weekend, folks, and it's Saturday, and that means yes, back again by popular demand. Super safe Saturday. What does that mean? And it's particularly important this weekend. Well, important every weekend, but, you know, it's going to be raining and you're going to be trying to do this stuff tomorrow. Sunrise service. You're going to go to pancake breakfast. Pancake breakfast. That sounds really good. And everything you're going to try and Easter egg hunt. So that means move over and slow down when you see those kids walking. That means if you see a car broke down on the side of the road because you didn't take care of mom's car or grandma's grocery getter and it's broke down on the side of the road, move over. If there's police out there, law enforcement, move over or slow down when you see those guys. That also means no drinking and driving, no texting and driving. I got it. You're going to get all kinds of Facebook, Snapchat, what is it, Instagram, I think. All those things you're going to see for all the kids with the Easter eggs. Just put that phone down, wait till you get home, or pull off in a safe area. It'll be okay, trust me. So no drinking and not driving, no texting and driving, no TikToking with other people's. I mean, really, seriously, people watch the TikTok videos and they tell me they're addicted to them. But really, you want to watch somebody else's life? You know, turn that thing off and walk outside. That's just 5 points. Walk outside and do it yourself. I don't want to watch somebody else's life. I got enough stuff to do. I don't want to do that. That's why I don't do TikTok. That's just my 2 cents for the day. So, and since it's Super Safe Saturday, I get to say that. If you're going to work on your car and it's hopefully you won't be doing it in the rain tomorrow, Put your jack stands down if you're jacking it up. Get your raincoat out if you're going to stand out there tomorrow in the rain. Put the chalk your wheels. Put your keys in your pocket. Don't work on the electrical if it's pouring. You know, just saying, electric and water, not such a great combination. You know, just don't do it. Just don't get out there and try and do the battery service while it's raining. You know, that's probably not a great idea. Or if you're jump starting somebody, do it. You know, just be super careful, man. Folks, that while you're trying to do it in the rain, that's always fun. Put your hood prop up because the wind's blowing. It's going to want to blow it on your head anyway, so put your hood prop up.
And make sure no kidding. And make sure you got that thing, that hood up and anchored in. Once you get it set in place, reach and grab the end of the hood, push it up and see how much room you've got so that when the wind hits it, it won't pick it up and release your little stick you got under there and drop that thing in your face. Seen
that.
That's
right. because what does the hood up do? It's a big friggin' sail. I mean, that thing just grabs wind like nobody's business. If you've never had the experience, the joy of driving down the road and had a hood flap in the middle of your windshield while driving down the road, trust me, that is something you never want to experience in your life. Have had that happen. It had it happen on an old Jeep, an old CJ5, no safety latch. Hoods were and they had the old school, you know, had to latch them down with the latches on the sides. Didn't do it. Driving down the road, whoosh, 20 miles an hour, that thing flies. Smashes the windshield. You can't see nothing. That I'm telling you, folks, that is an experience that will set you up, because that you're like,
yes, it will.
I assume Jerry's had it done. That's why they have hood latches, safety latches.
Let's take it one step further. Let's put it on top of a race car that's got about 441 cubic inches.
Wow.
And take it out and go up to third gear and forget whoever's supposed to put the pins in. Nobody went on up to it, including me. We didn't put the hood pins in. That son of a gun come off at probably about 90 miles an hour. I want to tell you something. That will scare you to death. I don't care who you are, because you don't expect it. It just, here it is. It's just like a bomb in the front end. And what windshield?
What windshield?
It happened to me last week.
Last week,
my son popped the hood in the Tesla, but he didn't tell me he popped the hood. So I got in and started to drive off in front of a park mall. And the hood flew up, but it didn't break the windshield. It didn't break the hood. I just pulled over real quick and closed it.
Wow.
But I was mad.
That fast.
I was really mad.
Oh, it'll sure wake you up,
won't
it?
Did it miss the hinges?
No, I guess it didn't. I got in and shut it. It works fine, so I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird. I could see through the hood, too, Co. So it popped up just enough that I could see underneath and see anything in front of me. But it scared the living Jesus out of me. I mean, it scared the
Hey, that gives a new meaning to impaired driving, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, wow. Who turned the lights out?
Exactly. Where'd everybody go? There was a car in front of me. Where'd it go?
Wow. Yeah, that's truly a scary experience, you know, because you can't see anything. If you're looking through the hood, I guess, but generally you can't see through to the traffic. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if somebody's in front of you. You don't know anything. All you know is you got to stop, but you don't even know what your stopping distance is.
No.
That's why the British have the bonnet that closes backwards. So
oh.
It won't fly up, because they couldn't remember to close.
I didn't know that. I did not know that. That's interesting. That's good. That's good info. I did not know that.
You know, I like that. I even like the hoods that open up from the firewall out toward the front bumper. You'd lift them up like I think some of the old Fords had them.
Oh, yeah, they rock forward. They rock forward. The whole thing rocks
over. Yeah, they rock forward out.
Right.
In fact, even better is when the whole cab from the firewall out rotates. Well, actually, the whole cab, you know, like some of Jim's trucks. where they just release and they just tilt all the way out.
The fender walls and everything come up. I know what you're talking about. I saw it on a Ford one time.
On the Ford trucks.
Yes, I love that.
They do it on all the Fords.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Easy to work on. Easy to get to things. Easy to change things.
That makes it so you don't have to scratch the fenders.
Easy to identify. Which one of your big trucks has got a tilt cab, Jim?
All of them. They all have tilt cabs.
Really?
Every single one of them, the hood is the hood and the fenders assemblies. They all tilt forward. That's just the way they make them.
Oh, my
today.
Lord.
It's the only, they even medium trucks, heavy trucks, they're all, well, unless you're driving a cab over, which is really, really rare anymore, because the cab overs just aren't a popular design. They used to be about 40 years ago, the rule was that the truck could only be a certain length. So in order to get the maximum trailer distance, they built cab over trucks so they could have a shorter truck. Well, they rescinded that law and changed it. So then regular conventional style trucks became the mainstay. So all of our trucks did fold forward. So, yeah, when you open the hood, you know, you're laying over the front tire. So the radiator, the front tire, the steering column, all of the motors exposed to a point. Now we have some Dodges, and Dodges use regular hood, but all of our other trucks, you just flip the hood open. You know, it's all fiberglass. You flip them open. But here's the thing. So here's the thing. So they all have mechanical latches, right? And there's no safety. Well, I think about it. They do. Certain models have safety latches, but it's really, really rare. And some of them have springs that keep them from going too far, and some have springs or safeties to keep them from closing on your head. So when you go to close the hood, you have to manually go in and release the safety so don't drop it on somebody's head. Because if it come over and hit you, if it fell down on you, you'd get really hurt. So, and some of them have like the nitrogen shock absorber, so it will close really slow. But if you're driving and you forget to latch it, you hit the brakes, it comes open on you. It will fly right open on you. There it is.
You put on the brakes and you almost go through the windshield. I know what you mean.
So you put on the brakes and the hood comes flying open. Well, now you can't see anything either because the hood's in the way.
And you're part of the
hood. That thing is big. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
that's something to think about when you're actually going in and you've got an 18-wheeler. And then you're the guy that actually goes in and cuts that 18-wheeler off, and he hits his brakes. If that hood comes up, he don't know how far you are in front of him.
Well, and not only that, you got to remember that you're rotating a hood from a horizontal to a vertical position. Well, that vertical position of the hood. So let's say the distance from the hinge point to the top of the hood is 3 feet or 2.5 feet, right? Now you've rotated that 90 degrees, so now it's 3 feet longer. So the truck just became 3 feet longer because the hood's in the way. So you cut him off, and say the latch breaks, they break. You know, things go wrong.
Yeah.
It's mechanical. We say this every time. It's mechanical. It can break. That hood comes flying up. It's coming right in the back of your trunk.
I'll tell you one thing. The dumbest thing I've ever seen on anything on Facebook or anything like that. With people cutting off an 18-wheeler. What'd that thing weigh, 80 to 100,000 pounds? And you have a guy in a little a little ATV or a little
doesn't matter.
Just
if
a little
cut a truck off.
Yeah, a little one.
Yeah.
I don't see. That's got to be the dumbest person on the road is the one that cuts an 18-wheeler off. Don't even qualify.
And you're absolutely right. So when we drive, the rule is, you know, 2 seconds, right, when you're driving a car, 2 seconds or a couple of car lengths, right? So we drive
three car lengths. Yeah.
We drive 6 to 8
on the freeways, you're supposed to go, it's my understanding from a long time ago, because the braking system wasn't any good on all four-wheel drum brakes. But it was one car per 10 mile an hour on a freeway.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
75 mile an hour. Yeah.
Right.
You take 7 car lengths, and that worked pretty good because I have actually hit the brakes at 75 mile an hour on an F450 that had 19-inch rotors on all fours and still had to pull off in the median to dodge the guy in front of me.
Wow.
And, I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. They – huh?
That's right. And today you can't get that much distance. When we back out, we're at least, you know, like 3 truck lengths, right? So because, you know, it takes a lot to stop a truck, and they don't stop very easy. They stop as good as they can stop, but you got to remember you're very heavy. So, but if you have a long distance, somebody's going to rip right in front of you. So and now it's the game of you keep backing off, slowing down. And, of course, take into account the traffic that's going to slow down anyways. And right here, if you're driving, you know, east or westbound I-10 at Orange Grove, which is under construction, you know, at 6 o'clock, well, 7 o'clock in the morning, it's a parking lot.
Yeah.
You're going to drive 5 miles an hour. So if you cut in front of somebody and then hammer the brakes, I mean, you might you might think that's a really good idea, but, you know, you're really risking a lot of things because you got in front of somebody for a quarter of a second because you're not going anywhere. You're going to wait in traffic like everybody else. And now I have seen people ride the median, you know, or ride the shoulder and try and roll around people. That will get you a really, really good ticket. that will buy you a ticket from, oh, my gosh, land. I'm just saying.
Good.
If I were patrol catches you doing that, you're going to wish so much that you had just stayed home in bed. So, so when you're doing that crazy kind of stupid driving because you're in a hurry, and we all, folks, you know, we all get frustrated with traffic. I see it every day. We all see it, but we all get frustrated with traffic, and you know, we're sure that we're impatient. And, you know, let me tell you, folks, you're talking to Mr. Impatient here. There are days when people are like, you're just so impatient. I know. I have things that I have to do. But when I get on the road, I have to remember all those things, everything I talk about, slow down, you know, get out of the way, you know, because I just want to get home. I don't want to crash. I just want to get home safe. That's my goal.
Yeah, motorcycles are the worst. Have you ever had a motorcycle come up, like, between you and the man? I think they're going to take off my mirror. Have you ever seen that happen?
Every day.
It drives me nuts.
So have one drive up while you're driving. So you're driving. This is the one that kills me, you know. And no offense to motorcycle drivers, but there are some bad actors in your group, folks.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you this. In motorcycle land, there are some really stupid drivers, just like there are regular stupid drivers. If you're driving beside
a tractor-trailer. Tell us how you really feel, Jim.
Okay. If you're driving by a big truck, you know, the likelihood of him seeing you driving between lanes is really, really low because he can't see you. You're in his blind spot all the time. And you'll pull up. He can see you if you're at the rear trailer wheels, but when you pass that, he can't see you. The mirror won't go down that far to see you. He doesn't know that you're there. And it takes just a slight bump, and you're over with. Oh, by the way, guys that are, you know, the big trucks that are hauling dozers, loaders that hang over the side of the trailer and have big permits because they're riding down the road, do you have any idea how one little clip of a D10 dozer blade will send you into an oblivion? The dozer doesn't care. The guy driving the truck isn't even going to know. And you're going to go riding beside him trying to weave in and out of this oversized load or a guy hauling a mobile home that's 16 feet wide and you're going to rip beside him? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That is about the dumbest thing you can do because everything we can do to see around you with the cars behind us, you're playing Russian roulette and you have every cylinder loaded. I'm saying. So
they can do it now without getting a ticket too. They actually
can. And they do it.
Yeah, you do it all the time. Drives me nuts.
They do it all the time. I people pass me up, I'll be pulling, you know, I'll be driving a truck, and they'll come flying up beside me, and I'm thinking, oh, you're going to clip the step on the truck. I mean, because you're looking ahead, you know, trying to weave between traffic, and you're right. I'm always thinking on a car they're going to clip the mirror or something, because that's about the right height for a car, a mirror or a light truck, you can clip it. But us, we got the steps, you know, that we enter and exit the vehicle with. And they're not wider than the truck, but they step out just a little bit. And you're a motorcycle guy isn't paying attention to those. You'll catch one of those with the foot, with your foot or your knee, and put over you go. Oh wait, now you lay down and you're in traffic, and another car comes up. Motorcycles laying down in traffic is probably not a really. Well, it's not probably. It's not a good idea. You're going to be laying, and if you have a a scooter. You can get out. Do you know what a Vulcan motorcycle weighs? A six-cylinder Vulcan weighs? Do you know what a V-Star weighs? A Vulcan motorcycle weighs about 800 pounds. A big Harley, softtail, fat boy, you know, it's 700 pounds. Getting that thing back up off the ground is a severe feat. It needs two people. Getting a V-Star off the ground, 600 pounds, you're not picking it up. Or if you are, you got more adrenaline than I've ever seen in my life. So you're laying on the ground, and the bike's laying, your leg is pinned underneath. You're laying on the ground. The bike's on top of your leg, and you're on top of the bike, and there you sit. Awesome.
Hopefully,
maneuver.
Hopefully not against an exhaust pipe, too. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you're going to be against a belt or a chain or a drive shaft. Either way, folks, I've laid down plenty of motorcycles in my life, mostly in dirt, and I can tell you having one fall over on you is very, very uncomfortable. And we're talking about, you know, 250, 350 dirt bikes. You know, they weigh about 100, I don't know, maybe 120 pounds, 150 pounds. And you can tilt them up. They're not too bad. You get a big old road bike with crash bars on it and foot pads on it, yeah. You're stuck. You are stuck. Now, most of the guys that ride together, you know, at least they've got a buddy, at least they can help them. And they ride, if they ride in groups, not so bad. But you get the Yahoo on the Ninja, on the Honda 650, 600RR. Rip between the cars, because you're going to save 14 seconds, you know. Again, I don't know who thought it was a good idea for motorcycles to ride between traffic, but maybe they thought that the motorcycle can accelerate because the power to weight ratio is better. But you know, remember you're the motorcyclist and you drive up between a car, you know, and somebody's looking down at their instrument cluster, or maybe they're just looking down at the phone, maybe they're looking at the sky, and you roll beside them, it scares them to death. You will give an old lady a heart attack because she thinks that her car is moving. Because you're driving by, she thinks her car is moving or something's going wrong.
She's about
and
to have
you,
an
and
accident.
You roll right up, hey, right. Yeah, you're going to have an accident. So that's why your mother tells you to wear clean underwear. But just saying, when you don't understand the frustration that the person in the car that you approach has, because they
but that's
see
what an accident
flying
is.
By them, and the person who's in the car that you just passed is not expecting a vehicle to move beside them that close at speed, you know. So they can handle walking pedestrians, but having somebody come up. You know, from their back on the right side, blind, and have them pass by their window is very unnerving to people. So just be aware that, you know, just because you think it's cool to drive down the middle, there's a lot of, your actions cause a lot of other actions. So, you know, if somebody has a wreck because you were driving up the road and you say, well, you know, it's the law, I can do it. Remember that your actions. You can be held accountable for your actions that could cause another wreck. It's no different than swerving out of a lane, going over a line, and making somebody crash. You failed to yield. You got into somebody else's traffic lane. So be aware that that happens. You could be held liable and accountable. Just saying.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, if you decide to ride in between cars, eventually, if you do get in an accident, you are at fault. So were you in the lane or not in the lane?
Right, you're at fault. So, and if you cause somebody to get into a collision, so you're driving up beside traffic, maybe the traffic's driving slow, right? Maybe the traffic's approaching an intersection and the light's red. So traffic's slowing. It's going from 10 to 5 miles an hour. So somebody's approaching an intersection, looking at the traffic in front of them, watching them stop, going, okay, I'm stopping, you know, the traffic stopped me, I'm leaving distance, and all of a sudden this thing comes flying by them, and they swerve into another vehicle, yeah, you're going to be held responsible because you caused that person to have the accident. Imagine this. Imagine somebody walking up to the side of your car that you don't see, and they start knocking on your window. You're going to have a little bit of an issue, and you're not going to know what to happen. And while the car is moving while doing that, it's a really not a very good idea. It's a bad idea. It's a dumb idea.
It's
so
crazy.
You pull that maneuver, better be careful. So just saying. Okay. That's my rant for this morning.
All right.
What do you think of that?
Hey, Jim.
Yes,
you were
sir.
Talking about how much distance you need between a car. I just remember when I was racing, when you're running 100 miles an hour and you're about 6 inches off a guy's bumper, and then all of a sudden one car in the crowd has an issue, blows a tire, something breaks, and they come over in front of somebody way out in front of you. At that speed, it's just like watching a NASCAR race. One guy, those guys run at 205 miles an hour, at 6 inches apart. How in the world they do it, I don't know. They get my attention just watching them. I said, how good do you have to be able to predict what the guys five in front of you are going to be able to do? Well, they've proven that they can't predict what's going to happen. However, they're professional drivers. And if professional drivers can pile them up on the freeways, on the roads, the straightaways and turns, what about the guy driving around the street? I mean, it's a given. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And, you know, I like to keep a distance. And I have changed my way of driving into, hey, if you want in front of me, by golly, you just come on over there. I'm watching you. I'll make sure I don't hit you. And hopefully the guy behind me don't hit me. But I'm watching you. I'm watching you. You just come on, because evidently you may have a medical emergency or something, and you're trying to get to the hospital. That's how I justify it. Do they? Probably not. Do I feel better about it? Yeah, I actually helped somebody get to the hospital. So it's all sorts of ways to look at this and stay out of it.
It's funny you
but
say that.
I do know another thing. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, if you want to get in front of me, I'll get in front of me. You know what? At least you're in front of me. I know I'll leave enough distance to stop. Now, what I was going to say is the true reward is the guy that's cutting in and out in front of you. He's weaving and bobbing, you know, and he's havoc on the road. And, you know, you're driving down the freeway or wherever. And this guy cut in front of you, and you're like, you know, you're just like, you know, grumbling, you know, using all kinds of expletives because, you know, that guy's, you know, whatever. And then he gets two cars ahead of you, and he's three cars, and then he's out of sight, right? And you're moseying along, you're driving along, and all of a sudden you see him on the side of the road with blue lights, red blue lights behind him. And you smile.
That's right.
And you just keep on driving. And you're like, oh, how'd that work out for you today, partner? Didn't work out too well at all, did you?
Before I forget it again, I'm already halfway through the first hour and didn't remember it. Well, I did. Jim was talking too much, so I was enjoying the conversation. I've got race car family four packs for tonight's program out at Tucson Speedway, and it is a turkey. It's going to be a Easter egg hunt. I think of turkeys, every time I think of Easter eggs, I don't know why, because they're big and easy to see probably, and I like to cheat while I'm doing Easter egg hunting. Anyway, they have the Easter egg extravaganza presented by Family Air. They have the modifieds, the Thunder Trucks, Hobby Stocks, hornets, mini stocks, and an Easter egg hunt. Jim, you need to take up that. And that starts, I think, gates open at 5 o'clock. And the racing probably runs around 7 or whenever. I don't know what the full schedule is on when they're going to have the Easter egg hunt. But if they have it in the infield, which they probably will, they'll probably have it before the race because infield gets a little busy. But it'll be a good show tonight. Callers 1, 2, 3, and 4, because I don't know how this thing's going to run between now and the next hour. So we have four family four-packs to Tucson Speedway tonight for the first four callers. 720-719-1490. 520-719-1490. Okay? Now I remember to do that. Cool. All right, I got it out of the way now. All right, what other subject would you guys like to butcher now? Oh, since this portion of the show is brought to you by Spectre Minor Road Auto Collision. 4425 West 9 Row, 520-744-4454. That'll get you into one of the best collision centers in the state of Arizona. 520-744-4454. If it's an automobile or pickup, well, anything have four wheels on it and rolling, I guess, and it needs painting, it needs repaired because it's in a collision, whatever you want done to it, Spectre Minor Road Auto Collision. Go over and see Echo or Javier or whoever answers the phone. Actually, you can walk in and get this thing handled. And they know all the ropes of dealing with the insurance companies. It really takes the hassle out of the auto repair collision industry. Spectre Minor Road Auto Collision Center, 520-744-4454. And for you weekend warriors out there, and working on your vehicles, Jim's already told you what to do now. Be sure and put those things in. You know, interesting, I'm gonna sidestep just a little bit. My brother called me, and he was talking about he's going to put some stop leak in a transmission, no, an engine, and just to see if it works. And he says, and I said, well, the one that I got said you got to drive it 250 miles. Well, I didn't feel like going to Wilcox and back or anything like that. Got to thinking about it. Running race cars, in order to get a differential up to operating temperature, we'd pick it up and set it on a stand, fire the engine up, go get a glass of iced tea, sit down and read a newspaper or something. While this 20-minute run is taking care of that, warming up the differentials. Well, on the 200 miles, it's still odometer works. So set it up on the stands, not in your garage where you're going to poison everybody with gas. Back it up, set it on concrete, make sure the stands are solid on it, put you some scotches on the front brakes, front wheels, just in case it falls off the stand, because you're going to be in probably high gear in order to get the burn as little gas as possible, but let the engine just click off, let the engine run. And what you can do that, or you can let the engine idle. I don't care for the engine idle. I'd rather have it under a little load than let it idle. I mean, as far as engine, I want the engine to work and build up the temperature and hold the temperature until everything seats in like it's supposed to. But I said, hey, put it up on the stand. Fire that son of a gun up. Put it in high gear or low gear, whatever you want to do, and let it run for 200 miles. I just figured if you put it in high gear, it run 200 miles a lot quicker than it will if you put it in low gear. I mean, you're going to be there all day. But anyway, he called me back, and he said, I did run it, but he said, unlike you, I decided it's more fun to drive it down the road and go visit something than it is to sit there on a chair and look at a car. Good point. Anyway, when he got done with it, it did seal the motor. It did seal the motor. So there's different ways to skin a cat, and that's one of them. But, good Lord, I keep thinking. You know what you were talking about that guy sitting on top of that motorcycle with his leg under and then sitting on top of it, and you're talking about him you know, he's in trouble or something like that. I said, yeah, he's going to meet a whole lot of things. One of them's a bumper, you know, and that is going to be nasty because – I can't even imagine sitting there not being able to get out from under that thing. And here's a car coming down the road, and all I can see is a bumper coming straight at me. That's got to be horrifying. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. That's when you, well, you're happy when you're in a race car with a full roll cage and all the bars and the fire extinguishers and the Honda devices and the five-car harness. You know, and people talk about race cars being dangerous. Hey, drive down Speedway at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock. You know, I don't mind the traffic when it's moving 3 or 4 miles an hour. You can sit there, you can listen to the radio, and, you know, if you want to, you could probably text and get away with it at that speed. I've never tried it because as soon as I pick up a phone or something, somebody hits the brakes and I don't see it. That would scare me to death, and neither will you. So be careful out there, especially this weekend. This is Easter weekend. It's not time for you to be taking out your relatives or anybody else. So
that's right. Oh. That's right. You don't want to be doing that.
Now that we've had all sorts of fun this morning. Hey, I got two job openings over at Simmons. I got two job openings. I need a automotive immediate openings. Woohoo! For automotive technicians, and I need a machine shop, drive shaft, somebody in the drive shaft department. So if you can weld, want to change your career or something, work 5 days a week and have all the paid holidays and all that stuff, vacations, medical, all the bennies that go with it, go over and see Wade at 3743 South Country Club or at the Ajo and Country Club, and or call at 520-884-0217. 520-884-0217. Speak to Wade. And he's the general manager and part owner of that place now. And we're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So, you know, give him a shout over there. We got to meet, like I said, we have immediate openings. We have, you've got to be old enough for me to get insurance put on you. I think that's 21 now, depending. If you work in a machine shop, I know it's got to be 21. And if you work out there in a garage, I don't know what that – I haven't been around the garage area lately. There doesn't seem to be that kind of a problem. But you need a clean driver's license for all you whippersnappers out there that are driving and thinks it's fun to drive these cars at 300 miles an hour. Just because they run 300 don't mean that you got to do it, because once you get a speeding ticket and some of that other, you're really limited to what kind of job you're actually going to get in the industry. Because that stuff comes out and it'll bite the business in the butt. If they put somebody on and all of a sudden he has a wreck and they haven't put him on, but yet he has a liability insurance policy that covers his rear end, it gets a little tricky. Just gets a little tricky. So people out there driving, please drive safe. You youngsters out there driving, you dad, moms, be sure and just tell them. And don't assume that they remember, because I remember when I was 15 and 16 and was driving, my memory was about the same as a snail's. You know, oh, yeah, don't do that. I won't. And the reason I say that, I have been 15 and 16. That child has never been 15 and 16. He's just getting there. You've already been there, so you got the experience to say, yeah, my brain fell out. So, you know, you don't kill your kid when something happens. It's, you know, it's just part of it. But are they going to do stupid things if they're kids? Only if they're kids. So that pretty much rounds it out.
Yeah, and the insurance will record all that too. LexisNexis keeps a track for like 6 to 8 years of any incident whatsoever. So it helps. It doesn't help your insurance rates.
Nope. And keep in mind, texting and driving, as Jim was talking about, a 17-year-old has the same response time as a 70-year-old when you are texting and driving. So you think about that. A 70-year-old. Now, I look at it this way. If a 70-year-old is texting and driving, everybody else needs to get off the road.
Oh, my gosh.
And somebody proved me wrong on that one. let's just don't say
we did, you know. Let's just not do it. How about that? Let's just not do it
That's exactly
at 17
right.
or 70.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was reading a thing on the Mustangs on performance, getting back to the automotive portion of the show, on a prototype. I didn't know there was a prototype Mustang put out in 1969. It's called a 10.1. It's a 429 Bosch engine. It runs from 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds in 1996. I seen they had one with a rear engine in 69 also, a rear engine 429 in a Mustang. They actually put it in the back end of the Mustang, a rear engine. It's a prototype. It did not there was no marketable addition or improvement to the performance by putting it in mid-engine, putting that thing in the back end. And so they didn't make it. They canceled the program. And I thought that was cool because I had never even heard of either one of those two bad boys, as much as I'm into Mustangs and stuff, but it's just a nice article in a Hot Rod magazine. I'm going, wow. But I didn't realize no big deal. You know, then I thought that's pretty cool. How the manufacturers used to rate the horsepower to fit an insurance policy. Not to fit the horsepower, but to fit the insurance policy. Oh, well, it's got 325 horsepower. No, they dyno tested that sucker, and it's more like 420 to 450 horsepower. And another thing about dynos and cars. Had a buddy on the dyno shop in Denver, Colorado. And that time it was when diesels were coming in. Man, the diesel, if you want something to pull, get a diesel. You want something to pull, get a diesel. Well, we bought diesels. Everybody and their brother bought diesels in 1993. We changed the way the diesel fuel prices were in America. They still are up there. We created a market wide open for diesel fuel, and the prices went sky high, didn't they, Jim?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And, you know, so you write it out. But anyway, when I lost my train of thought, I had this thing whipped.
Dyno, you're
dyno, yeah, dyno. Thank you. On the dynos. And he told me, he said, at that time I had a 06 Dodge. No, I had a 99 Dodge diesel. And we were talking about dynos, and we were talking about the variances in diesels. We were at a corporate national meeting. And he was telling me, he said, Jerry, I can take your Dodge, a 99 Dodge, get another 99 Dodge that has a build date within a month of your build date on your car, on yours, and put them on a dyno. Both of them can have the oil changed in them like it's supposed to be, have the air filters. Everything can be the same as far as the maintenance on them. They will be different in the performance. He said, every diesel I have put on a dyno, if it's a Chevy and it's a 06, 05, 04, 03, I put it on a dyno, it'll be different than the other one that's come out of the same year, same manufacturer. He said, it's amazing how much difference it can make. And so for the people doing dynos on their cars, I know a lot of these little cars run around there dyno tuned. You can tell by the way they go down the road 900 miles an hour. And by the way, you know, you never see when somebody crashes in one of those little cars, you never really hear about it. I guess they don't like to put out the bad news or something, because I don't see how they dodge. Mike Gabe, who used to be the co-host of the show, was coming from Phoenix, from Bullhead City through Phoenix to Tucson. There was two 18-wheelers, and in between the two 18-wheelers as a bumper ornament was a smart car. And Mike said, I thought I was going to actually throw up in the seat of my car.
Wow.
Because there wasn't anything. There was no distance. It was less than a foot between the bumpers of those 18-wheelers, that one trailer and that front bumper, that other one. And that car was disappeared. There was nothing there. And he said, I actually got sick at my stomach. So when we say don't tailgate, people don't tell. If you want to tailgate, go get a race car, put a cage in it, put seatbelt harness in it, get you a $400 helmet, get your Hans device, crawl in that bad boy, and go play bumper tag at 100 miles an hour. It doesn't work in a regular car. It just doesn't work. I hate to break that to you. Jim says, you know, it makes a bad day for everybody, but I've had some crashes in a race car that knock you out with all of that stuff on. And that showed up years later. So, and no, that's not what caused my brain to go crazy yet. So I know everybody's sitting up there going, yeah, that's what happened to Jerry. Uh-huh. Okay. Fuel prices. I want to talk about fuel prices. Jim, have you noticed your fuel prices going up lately?
All the time, Jerry. It's like a yo-yo. You know, they run them down a few cents to tell you, oh, it went down, and then they run back up. You need a computer and a flow chart to keep track of fuel prices because it changes hourly, it seems like. So it's crazy.
No,
It's a good thing they have digital boards on there. Imagine if it was old school and the guy had to go out there and change the little tabs by hand. He'd be out there. He'd have a full-time job just sitting out there changing the fuel prices.
Yeah, he just sit out there. He won't even get a lunch break. He won't even get a lunch break. About 3 weeks ago, I filled up my Honda. And I thought, wow, that's not too bad. You know, $3.21 a gallon. Hey, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now, people, just 3 weeks ago, maybe 3.5 weeks ago. And what is it now? $3.99. And I'm going, $3.89. If you pay cash, and $3.99 if you don't, or some crap like that. But it went up, and it seemed like what Jim's saying, almost daily. And it just got up and got up and got up and got up. And I said, well, they must have already got everything planned for the election because everything's going up now. So, but we'll see. But I looked at that fuel. Go ahead, Jim.
It's refinery cleaning. It's refinery maintenance. We shut down this refinery. We shut down that refinery. I understand that people have to do maintenance. It's summertime. We've got to add the summer fuel. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. But there's more excuses or more reasons for why things have to go up and down than you can imagine. Now, we need Jesse Lugo on here because he's the guy who can explain this stuff. You know, I'm not a fuel expert. I just buy a lot of fuel, but I'm not a fuel expert. But I can tell you, it goes up. It's been going up and down so crazy that there's no way to keep track of it. You really need somebody every day that there's a new price.
You can't. That's also one of the things that's driving a looking at the
electric
vehicle.
Yeah, that's the reason I went to electric.
Battery. You know. Yeah. Well, I just, you know, if I look at the total cost of something every time I buy it, whether it be a car or truck or anything like that. I actually look the difference between a diesel and gasoline in 1993. Diesel fuel was a good price. Gasoline was more expensive than diesel fuel. And I figured, okay. So I did it, and it figured out that I need to drive about 70,000 to 80,000 miles in order to get the difference back in the fuel prices over the gasoline. Well, when I bought my second diesel, I'm going to have to wear that diesel out before it gets the difference between the gasoline and the diesel fuel. When it got past about 130,000 miles, I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I don't even keep them that long anymore. But I'll tell you, it just really changed. But I'll tell you another little secret on alternate fuels. In 1982, the thing coming in was propane. We're going to run vehicles on propane.
CNG.
We have the technology.
CNG.
We have the technology to do propane and gasoline by hitting a switch on a dash, okay? Brian Fuller's all installed these. Simmons has installed them. And the reason was, at that time, it was about 45 cents a gallon difference in price of the propane versus the gasoline. I flew a guy in from New York to train my crew on dual fuel conversions. I don't even think I got my money out of the dual fuel conversions on doing dual fuel conversions before the price of the propane was higher by a nickel over the gasoline. So then if you buy the dual fuel conversion and you put it in there, that's one thing, and then versus the gasoline. So you've got the expense of the dual fuel conversion to going on there, and it's quite expensive. Well, it was then quite expensive to put the system, dual system, on there. And then let's look at the advantage point of it. The advantage point of it is you get about 15% less fuel economy on propane as you do gasoline. That's an advantage, okay? It does run cleaner. That's an advantage. And people can't steal it. That's definitely an advantage. I actually did a fuel conversion on six trucks for a commercial guy, and his sole reason for it wasn't the price of the fuel. It was the price of the fuel of having to replace the fuel when it would get stolen every night or every other night he would get hit. He had everything to protect it, and it didn't work. They'd cut the locks off the tank. He had a separate tank. He did everything. So a professional thief is going to get you. But anyway, that's what he done. And, you know, until everything was just kind of reversed. Dual fuel system, you have to have a specialty shop to work on it because you've got two tune-ups that go down. One, you have to make up your mind. Okay, Joe. Okay, Jim. What fuel do you want to run on primary? What's your taste for this month? Oh, I want to run on propane. Okay, we have to tune it for propane, which means detuning it for gasoline and setting a timing up for propane because it definitely runs better. There's another little thing that I noticed on the propane fuel. It will pick up a miss in an engine, a bad spark plug in an engine, 30 days before gasoline will. You know what else? I never figured out why. I'm going, I don't even care. All I know is it does it because it did it to mine. Put that thing in, had a miss in it. Said, okay, spark plug just a little worn. Not really a lot. So I turned it over to gasoline, reset everything, timing all that for it, and it was running perfect. Switch it back to propane. Nope, it picked it up on that one cylinder, and it was a defective spark plug on one cylinder. So that was an advantage. But when you look at propane, propane's been used on farms and ranches forever, it seems like, to run pumps for irrigation and all of that. They're doing that across the country, been doing it as far as I can remember. And when you pull an engine, they used to use big blocks like the 460s, 454s, and stuff, and 440s. And you pull them, I had a machine shop, you'd pull one of those ranch engines or farm engines apart that had been used running on propane. There wasn't a speck of carbon inside that thing. I mean, it looked, that motor was just as clean as the day that you put it in there. And I'm going, wow. So there is an advantage to running propane, except the disadvantages. Disadvantages, you got to find someone that knows what you're doing. The other thing, technicians and mechanics and garages, they're pretty amazing. You can give them a baseball painted like a lemon, and they'll make lemonade out of that son of a gun. That's the will to fix it. They get to the point to where they go, I can fix this thing. By golly, if somebody built it originally, I can fix it now. Well, you can as long as you got the parts. But now what you're finding out, according to me, Brian Fuller, Scott, and Mike over at Parker Automotive, you're going, what? What do you mean I can't get it? What do you mean it's not available? No, you've got to be kidding me. 6 months. What? Okay, I'll call up Jim and tell him he can't have his vehicle for 6 months because we can't get the parts for it. Go to a junkyard, go to a salvage yard or something, get me a part, and let's try it and see if we can get some mileage out of it. That's a sick way to run a business, but that's what it's come to. And it's not just in Tucson, Arizona. It's coast to coast. I'll tell you another thing, too. You know that bridge that was taken out this week up in Maryland? That thing was one of the major ports. And now they're talking about that thing's going to cost, what, $1 billion a day while it's down? and stuff. They got ships on the other side of the bridge that can't get out. They got ships on this side of the bridge that can't get in. So they're going to have to start rechanneling and going down to Florida or someplace like that or other ports just to drop off the load and start changing. All of that takes time. And they're talking about it's going to be a major multi-billion dollar hit in the industry. And it's going to affect supply chains. And so here we go again. I know the guy that was driving that darn boat, that ship had run into that thing. He must have had COVID. So we'll blame this on COVID, too. Everything else has been blamed on COVID. So I'm going to blame that shipwreck on COVID.
I heard it was made by
Boeing. What do you think, Jim?
I heard it was made by Boeing.
Huh? No, the parts didn't fall off of it.
Well,
it was made by
Boeing.
The door had to fall off or something.
Could you imagine?
Go ahead, Jim.
Could you imagine making the phone call to the owner of the company going, hey, by the way, I just knocked down a bridge. And so it's going to be a little bit of a, it's a little bit of an issue. Not too bad. Hopefully, I got the camera footage. I think it'll be okay. I think we can just do a little bit of bailing wire. We'll put this thing back together.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that phone call coming down?
Up drawbridge. Up drawbridge. Move the bridge. Move the bridge.
I looked at my brother called me. He said, you know, I actually drove over that thing about six times. I've been back and forth across it. I said, well, so that's what a bridge is for. It's supposed to cross it. He said, no, I'm telling you that I could have been on that bridge. And I said, yeah, but you weren't. And if it had been later in the morning, that would have been a mess. That river had been full of cars.
Hey, guys, we got about 2 minutes, and Jose won the first round.
Oh, good, good. Well, we still got three tickets left then. We've got three NASCAR tickets tonight out at Speedway for the next three callers coming up right after. I think we got about, a minute and a half, Tip?
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes. It's a minute and 20 seconds right now, so.
Okay, a minute and 20 seconds. Okay. So, Jim, he's going to have to depart, and he's got a project he's got to take care of today. And, you know, he I was fortunate enough to have him on for the first hour. I had to con him into that. And, you know, because I'm going to have to do the super safe Saturday when we get back. That ought to be a trip.
Yeah, you're going to have to wing that through, you know. Hopefully I covered it enough to cover both hours.
We got about 1 minute, guys.
Okay, well, what we're going to do when we get back after the top of the hour break, we're going to get into little wheels and tires and front-end components and check engine lights. Everybody loves check engine lights. People panic. Some of them hit the brakes as soon as the light comes on, and then about 15 seconds the light goes back off. And they go, oh, and then a light will come back on in about 30 minutes, and first thing you know, the people are having a heart attack about this light. I'm going to try to explain that just a little bit better so everybody don't panic when these things come on. And that light is a forewarning. And we will get into that the second hour. Jim, you have a good rest of your weekend, buddy. And,
you too, Jerry. Everybody have a good weekend out there.
Yeah, boy. Thank you. And so callers, 719-1490, prefix 520 on the three tickets left. And we'll be right back after these messages.